Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you on this Monday morning, February 11th, 2019. We had an amazing weekend celebrating the First Lady of New Wine Ministries, Patricia Joy Xavier's birthday. And it truly was a wonderful weekend, and she was extremely blessed. And we are getting to take a little mini vacation, if you will. We're getting away with some friends that have a home that have invited us to stay with them for a few days. And so I wanted to just have a short little broadcast today. While I will be broadcasting all week this week from Blog Talk Radio, I will not be able to do a live broadcast on Omega Radio. Now, my hope is that the Omega Radio Network will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of our experiments in the past is when we've had to take off for a few days, something in the computer, the system would shut down and we just didn't have any Omega Radio. Well, I'm hoping that I've adjusted things properly. And even though we will not be on the Omega Radio Network live, we have put up onto the Omega Radio interviews with Carl Gallups, Daniel Seckham, Patrick Wood from Technocracy Rising. We have David Wilkerson. We have Billy Graham. We've got all kinds of great ministers up to date. And we are going to continue to broadcast 24/7 when we get off the air today. So, but as far as a live radio broadcast on the Omega Radio Network, we're not going to be there for the rest of this week. And so we're trusting that the 24/7 will just continue on. And you'll hear some very, very relevant messages that they're going to just continue to play. Christopher Manti, Bob Hagen, and others who are just bringing forth the word of the Lord in this hour to equip and to feed the body of Christ. And so I wanted you to know that. And Lord willing, on Blog Talk Radio the rest of this week, I'll be going live. And maybe even Patricia Joy will be joining me during those moments. And we will continue to do a live broadcast on KERM Radio every Wednesday and every Sunday. So praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition, as my dear friend George always says. And that's kind of where we wanted to just let you know in this very short broadcast today what our plans are. We'll try to keep up on Facebook and let people know what we're doing and where we're going. And just for those that are interested and are following the ministry, we've got, I think I've looked last, over 600 people that are tuning into the Omega Radio Network following the broadcast. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people from different countries, and they're either heads of orphanages or they're running some kind of ministry out there, and they make contact with us all the time asking us to go out and minister and, you know, be a part of what they're doing to support their work. And I've done that before. I actually got on an airplane a couple of years ago and flew to Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, and I met a couple of pastors that followed our ministry online. And I did actually get a chance, an opportunity to go into the open fields of Kenya. I was actually in a place called Moy's Bridge, and out in the open fields, met all these people and ministered for about 4 hours out of the Word of God. So that was quite an experience. And, you know, perhaps one day if the Lord wants to open doors into India or China or, you know, wherever these people are coming for, a lot from South America right now, you know, who knows what God wants to do. But right now our focus is to broadcast as much as we possibly can every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then, of course, we have our church services every Saturday and Sunday. And then we do Kerm Radio as well on Sundays. So, but our work here is to broadcast and to feed the body of Christ. So what I do every day is I go and I search for those very important messages that are keeping the body of Christ updated. I recently, about 2 weeks ago, put David Wilkerson's vision from 1973, and I've been playing that, you know, through the system. It's on a couple of, maybe once or twice a day, maybe three or four times a week, just so people could hear that man of God. And then you have Billy Graham with his warnings to our nation, and then you have equipping ministries and deliverance, and you know, just every day we're trying to keep things up there. And what we would really appreciate is if our listeners would just get the word out about omegaradio.org. This is our work. This is what we do. This is our internet radio station. And because of some of the security that we have on there, you know, every once in a while, I guess if you leave the computer for too long, it actually just shuts down like a safety of some sort. So I've readjusted some of the settings, and hopefully this will be a nonstop 24/7 radio station that's going out over the airwaves. I hope that's the case. Well, I'll be letting you know every morning this week, Patricia and I, as we're moving about, and we are celebrating the Queen's birthday, and I'm a very blessed man to have such a virtuous woman in my life, there's no doubt, and she was absolutely honored yesterday. You know, Patricia Joy Xavier has spent the last 37 years of her life ministering to the body of Christ. She has written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that even to this very day, when people get that book, they just are amazed, because there are answers. And as my dear friend Benjamin Baruch once said on a radio broadcast, there's an anointing on the book that while you're reading it, deliverance takes place. And I absolutely agree. You get the Word of God, you get that little book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. It's one of the most balanced books in the realm of deliverance. It's not the dramatic, fanatic type of stuff. It is so well written out of Patricia's own experiences and the things that she learned while she was in the occult, while she was in New Age, while she was in metaphysics, experience all these things. And when the Lord delivered her and set her free, my God, did he gift her with some insightful information, and it has been a benefit and blessing to people all over the world. And her book is available, of course, online at Amazon. Again, it's Patricia Joy, and it is Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You have every right from the kingdom perspective to be completely set free from every demonic stronghold, generational bloodline curses, whatever it is that's been going on in your psyche, in your soul, in your psuche. There is an answer through the blood of Jesus Christ, and she explains this in detail. You know, she talks in her book about demon possession, and you know, there's a big battle in the church today. Can a Christian have a demon in them? And a lot of people in the church would insist that no, they cannot have a demon in them. And yet they say things like, well, if the Holy Spirit has come into my life and I'm born again, well, how can a devil come into my life at the same time the Holy Spirit is there? And the answer to that question is simply this, that we are tripart beings, right? We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. And that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says. The Apostle Paul says, that may God preserve your whole spirit, soul, and body. So that's the tripart beings that we are. And when we're born again, our spirit is made alive and the Holy Spirit infuses it. So the Holy Spirit and our spirit become one. That's where we cry, Abba, Father. But the work where the deliverance needs to take place is in the soul. The spirit is by the Holy Spirit. That is salvation. I mean, that's where all the work commences and begins. But the working out of our salvation is in the soul realm, and that's where the demonic spirits dwell. That's where false memories are. That's where, you know, phobias exist. That's where the ghosts are, the memories, the intellect that has been deceived, and all mankind has been deceived because of sin. And that's where the bondage is. And so it is the working out in the soul realm, and the Spirit of God and our born-again spirit in cooperation move into that soul realm and begin the emancipation proclamation to bring deliverance and salvation to the area of the soul. So when Christian leaders are telling members in the body of Christ, well, your problems are just psychological, or your problems are just, you know, in your thinking, it's true, but there's something behind there affecting the psychology and the thinking mechanism, and it's a demonic presence oftentimes. And these are familiar spirits. And if you look at the word familiar, family, and a lot of people are simply going through life with the demonic that was in their grandpa or their grandma and to mama and papa, and then they just kind of go from generation to generation. They are family spirits or familiar spirits. And that's why even in the DNA, grandpa had a heart disease and daddy had a heart disease. And so why are you dealing with it today? Well, there's some DNA connection, but even behind the DNA, you have to get behind that. And it's where life is. It's where activity, spiritual activity exists. And Patricia puts this out biblically so clearly in her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that you cannot walk away without appreciating the information and the revelation that was put into that book. And of course, once again, if you're struggling with demonic warfare, if you are battling it out with the devil and inwardly you seem to be getting beat up by, you know, devils, and you're unsure and you're always, you know, the first to the altar and you're always crying out to God and you're just not getting the victory, however, maybe you need to deal with the possibility that what you're fighting against is not just mental. Maybe it is a demonic presence that has taken root in your soul. And 2/3 of Jesus's ministry was casting demons out of people. When you read the scriptures, 2/3 of his work was to cast out devils out of people. And guess what? When devils get cast out of a person's soul, usually there's a healing, physical healing that takes place in their body. Because you can imagine an unclean spirit, a foul spirit, a devil, a demon occupying a part of your soul, how that would affect the organs in your body, your health, your mental condition. And so oftentimes these devils come with condemnation, guilt, shame, fear, accusation, you know, self-abuse. I mean, all kinds of stuff that demons do against the individual. They are not simply hovering around a person. These demonic presence weren't hovering in the day of Jesus. And Jesus has given the authority to the believer who has been set free through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to go and do what he did. Church has basically been commissioned to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and set the captives free. By just bringing somebody to a living faith in Jesus Christ and getting them filled with the Holy Spirit does not necessitate the emancipation of a demonic presence. I mean, it's, I'm receiving the power of God now to go to do war with that demonic presence that's been in my life all my life and in my bloodline and generations past. And so the church needs to be fully equipped. And maybe you're one of those people, you don't need anybody to convince you in one direction or another. You just know that your life is undergoing a series of demonic attacks. And you have things going on the inside of you that are not healthy, that are not righteous. Maybe you have these mental issues or thoughts that you just can't get rid of and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you know that this is an issue. And so once again, we are broadcasting live on the Omega Radio Network this morning. And we are also broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have to say goodbye. We've got to get some things accomplished. But that book, by the way, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, if you know somebody that's struggling with a lot of demonic stuff, and don't get me wrong, there are great books out there. I mean, Derek Prince talked about demonic stuff as well, and we put him on our radio programs all the time. There's all kinds of different folks, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And when you know people that have been so demonically possessed by demons and oppressed that, you know, they're born again, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, truly, and yet they have a drug addiction that they can't get over. And every, you know, 7 months or so, they're going back into their drug addiction, or they have pornographic addictions, or they have other addictions, alcoholic addictions. There's anger, fear, jealousy. You say, well, that's a work of the flesh. Well, not necessarily only a work of the flesh. You have to find out again what's behind that, what's motivating that work of the flesh, right? What's inspiring that? Our actions, our conducts are basically inspired by one spirit or another. If the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God is coming out of me, people will look at me and say, wow, look, he's got love and he's got joy and he's peace. But where's that coming from? From the Holy Spirit. So if I have anger and hate and violence and jealousy and envy and lust and pride, well, yeah, it's my conduct, but where's it coming from? It's a demonic spirit. And so the idea here, once again, is just to get free. Man, just get free. And if you know somebody that's struggling, I would highly recommend Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights by Patricia Joy Xavier. You could actually order a copy of it right on our website at nwmglobal.org. And NWN stands for New Wine Ministry. N for new, W for wine, M for ministry. NWM Global, GLOBAL.org. We don't talk about our websites very often, but there's some amazing radio broadcasts in the archive files. There are prophetic writings on that internet as well, and the website, NWM Global, tells you where we fellowship every week, and there's a lot of information on there about what New Wine Ministries is all about and what we're doing and what God is doing, most importantly, in our ministry. And so NWM Global, you could find under the book tab. It also keeps you informed when our celebrations for the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, and then, of course, Trumpets and Atonement and the Great Feast of Tabernacles. So we celebrate the feast not in an obligatory way or religious mode or ritualistically. We believe that there are some intrinsic values to the Feast of the Lord that have deep spiritual meaning to every one of us who believes. That's why the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, let us therefore keep the feast. But he said, not externally, but let's keep it inwardly in sincerity. And there are reasons for that. And we're not going to get into that right now, but we know that this is a good and right thing, that even during the millennial reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign that's just ahead of us, the Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated from year to year. And anybody that doesn't go up to celebrate, it's not going to have any rain. Figure that out. So we talk about all these things, of course, and there's a lot of information about our feasts, the Lord's Feast that we celebrate every year. So nwmglobal.org is where you want to find what New Wine Ministries is doing. And again, we are hoping that when I get off the air today, that the Omega Radio Network, I cannot express enough. If you turn, if you're traveling, if you've got time and you're just listening to news, Fox News, or see whatever you listen to, if you will turn on NWM Global, we actually have clips from Fox News on there talking about abortion, the heavy-duty issues. We have all kinds of different people that are speaking relevant by the Word of God. And if you'll just let people know, OmegaRadio.org, or check it out for yourself. You know, if you're out there today, just turn on Omega Radio for a while and see if you're not inspired and listen. And then if you hear something that you go, wow, that doesn't belong on here, that's not the heart of this ministry, if something happened to slip in there, let us know. We'll remove it right away if it's not edifying to the body of Christ. And so give it a shot, OmegaRadio.org. And once again, we are going to travel down the road. I was thinking I could leave us with this today in the next few minutes. And it's basically something that I think is very interesting that somebody put together about God's numerical patterns and Israel's 70th year in Bible prophecy. So look at some of these numbers that have meaning in the scriptures, particularly the number 70. So the number 70, as shown in the examples that I'm going to share with you in just a moment, symbolizes fullness. Here's what the number 70 is: fullness, restoration, and an end point. End point. So here are some examples. The post-flood world was repopulated by 70 descendants of Noah, resulting in 70 nations in Genesis 10. Terah, the father of Abraham, was 70 years old when Abraham was born, Genesis 11:26. The nation of Israel began with 70 Hebrews who migrated to Egypt, Exodus 1:1-5. Moses appointed 70 elders to be the governing body of Israel, Numbers 11:16. Following the liberation from bondage, the children of Israel camped at an oasis of 70 palm trees, Exodus 15:27. The Jews were liberated from captivity in Babylon after 70 years, Jeremiah 29:10. God's plan of redemption for Israel and Jerusalem is comprised of 70 weeks, Daniel 9:24-27. Jesus sent out 70 disciples to harvest the field of believers, Luke 10:1. A typical human lifespan is 70 years, Psalm 90:10. Israel's greatest ruler, King David, died at the age of 70, 2 Samuel 5:4. So, seeing how the number 70 symbolizes restoration, it's interesting that restoration-themed events in Israel's history tend to occur at a 70-year interval. From the destruction of the first temple in 586 BC to the completion of the second temple in 515-516 BC is 70 years. From the completion of the second temple in 515-516 BC to the completion of the wall around Jerusalem in 445 BC is 70 years. From the UN vote in favor of the establishment of the modern state of Israel in 1947 to the first recognition by a foreign power, the U.S., that Jerusalem is its capital in 2017 is 70 years. The most significant 70-year intervals correspond to the dates 1948 and 1967. From the first modern Jewish settlement in the land of Israel, which is Petah Tikva, in 1878 to the birth of the nation in 1948 is 70 years. From the first major step in reestablishing the state of Israel, the first Zionist Congress in 1897, to the final step, or the restoration of Jerusalem in 1967, is 70 years. Notice that both watershed events related to Israel's restoration to the land, the rebirth of the nation in 1948 and the restoration of its capital in 1967, are preceded by a seminal event 70 years earlier. The odds against this occurring by chance, astronomical, suggesting divine orchestration. And while the events of 1948 and 1967 were vital to God's plan to redeem the Jews and the Holy City, they did not represent the end point. When we extend the pattern forward 70 years from 1948, we arrive at the biblical year spanning 2018-2019. So from 1878-1879 plus 70 years is 1948-1949 plus 70 years is 2018-2019. So 2018-2019 is a logical end point for the 70-year pattern because Jesus says the generation who sees Israel reborn will see the end of the age, Matthew 24:32-34. A generation is defined as 70 years in Scripture, Psalm 90:10. Another reason 2018-2019 is a logical endpoint for the 70-year pattern is that it represents the third date milepost. The number three signifies completeness of testimony in Scripture. And I quote, "This will be my third visit to you," said Paul, Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1. Well, in addition to the 70 years from 1948, a timeline in Daniel's week's prophecy in 9:24 to 27 points to 2018 and 19. In verse 25, the angel Gabriel reveals how many weeks, 7-year periods, will elapse from the time a decree is issued to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince comes to rule. He said this, "No one understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." That's Daniel 9:25. Well, the modern day rebuilding of Jerusalem began in 1969. When we add Daniel's 7 weeks or 49 years to this date, we arrive at 2018-2019. 1969 plus 49 is 2018-2019. What are the odds that Israel's prophetic 70th year would correspond to the 49th year since the rebuilding of Jerusalem began? Well, in the 70 and 49 convergence in 2018 and 2019, isn't uncanny enough, here's another. The 7 weeks and 62 weeks in Daniel's prophecy add up to 483 years. When we add 483 years to the time that an earlier decree to rebuild Jerusalem's walls was issued in 1535 AD by the Ottoman Empire Suleiman, we again arrive at 2018 and 2019. 1535 AD plus 483 equals 2018-2019. Thus, we have three key eschatological timelines pointing to 2018 and 19. But there's more. Israel's 70th year also corresponds to the calculated 6,000th year from creation, the time that the 7,000-year millennial day known as the Day of the Lord begins. 6,000 AD, from 3,982, 3983 BC, which is the creation of Adam, equals 2018 and 2019. That's huge. So another factor pointing to 2018 and 19 is the drafting of a Middle East peace plan, dubbed the Deal of the Century. This is crucial because the fundamental sign given by Paul to the church to identify the season is peace and safety. Brothers and sisters, he said, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates of this event, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So, while there have been a number of peace plans proposed since the restoration of Jerusalem in 1967, the deal of the century is the only one to coincide with the convergence of key eschatological timelines, begging the question, if the talk of peace and safety in 2018 and 19 isn't that which Paul was alluding to, then what could he have been alluding to? And how will we recognize it when it occurs? Well, assuming that Paul's peace and safety sign is manifesting before our eyes, consider the ominous scenario. Daniel's week's prophecy assigns a period of 70 weeks or 490 years to redeem the Jews in Jerusalem. In 2018 and 19, exactly 70 years after the Jews returned to the land and 49 years after Jerusalem was restored as its capital, a peace plan has been drafted that purportedly aims to divide the holy city. Do you see the problem? God's plan calls for the restoration of the holy city, while the world's plan is to divide it. Dividing Jerusalem is prohibited because it belongs to the one who will reign there during the millennium. Now, the Lord has been patient for decades as Israel has tried to secure peace by giving away land. A plan that aims to divide the land around the 6,000th year from creation, however, the time that Messiah the Prince is set to take possession, explains why destruction will come suddenly upon those saying peace. end. I have simply run out of time. I would love to have finished this little tidbit of information, but what is it saying? The summary of all these things? Well, the Bible, the number 70, signifies fullness, restoration, and an end point. Ladies and gentlemen, it's significant that the number 71 through 80 do not typify restoration or an end point in any comparable way in Scripture. It's Israel's 70th year, ending spring 2019. The ending of spring 2019 marks the convergence of four prophetic time spans and the drafting of the most anticipated Middle East peace plan in half a century. If this once-in-a-history convergence is God's way of declaring the season of his return, the world may soon see the church going into the wilderness at the beginning of the tribulation week. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the tribulation. Man, this lines up so big that the spring of 2019, which is just a few months away, would usher in the beginning of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to go back into this. Maybe tomorrow I'll spend some more time on it, but I've got to run. I want to say to everybody, please continue to go to the Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But tomorrow morning, you'll be able to hear our broadcast only on Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you who do not know that address, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. That's blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. Till we meet again, this is Pastor Vince saying shalom and God bless.